Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a writer, media critic, host of a couple podcasts. You Are Good, a feelings podcast about movies, and the classic, the Mount Rushmore podcast. No, it's not a podcast about Mount Rushmore. It is like on the Mount Rushmore of great podcasts.
Exactly.
You're Wrong About, her writing has appeared in The Believer on BuzzFeed. Truly one of the best people in the world at interrogating the myths and narratives we use to define ourselves and the world around us. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Sarah Marshall!
Oh, God, what a crazy intro. I feel so pumped up. I feel like I want to be one of those kids running onto the stage of Maury and attacking their parents with a chair.
Yeah,
right. So alive.
It's like, I don't
care. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. I miss those. Did you ever do an episode about that?
No, we really should. I was just thinking this morning, one of the things I find most fascinating is the question of like the inner workings of a 90s daytime talk show.
Yeah.
It's like, my God.
Right. Because I mean, like, I feel like we got the darkest glimpse after the Jenny Jones thing.
Yeah.
And that's when we started to be like, oh, no, no, no.
What was the Jenny Jones thing?
What if our actions have consequences?
The Jenny Jones one was where they outed one of their guests for being in love with this other man, right? And then the guy was murdered.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I'm going to be iffy on the details. But yeah, and I don't think they aired the episode. But right, they did facilitate a murder there.
Yeah.
That's wow.
And you know, You're Wrong About is big on the Satanic Panic, and they were such a big part of that, and
they
so
were
many other wonderful things.
Yeah, yeah. Real accelerant to the Satanic
like the
panic.
The wet cardboard and the mushroom growing experience. If we're gonna use a mycology metaphor, we are.
Which we are. Yeah, I was going to ask for the best mycology metaphor you could come up with. Yeah, we've talked about You're Wrong About a lot on this podcast, especially around human trafficking. And it's just, I think, the foremost debunker of bullshit myths. And our show peddles bullshit. I mean, it's what we do. We love to, we also like to bust bullshit myths when we're heads up enough to catch them. Mm-hmm. But so we wanted to just have you back on the show
and go through some of the stories you've covered, some of your favorites, some of our favorites that we just want to make sure our listeners are aware of.
Yeah.
Because it's a great show. And
I'm so happy to be here. Yeah. This is so lovely. And I'm so happy that we're in your zeitgeist. And it's a really, it's like a lovely and bleak and lovely distinction to hold when it's like, you know,
yeah,
myth busting right. is one of the most important roles in society today.
Unfortunately.
Right. Yeah,
it
right.
truly is. Caitlin Durante, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, well, obviously, I'm looking at Shrek stuff. And I found out, slash, I think someone told me, someone DM'd me on Instagram and told me about something called Shrek's Adventure, which is like a, I don't think it's quite a theme park, but it's like some sort of attraction in London. And I will be going to London on said Bechdelcast tour. And we're doing the Shrek-tanic tour, aka we're covering Shrek and Titanic on this tour. So I have to be going to Shrek's Adventure. And then that sent me down a rabbit hole. And I discovered that there's a whole section of Universal Studios in Singapore called Far, Far Away. So there's a whole Shrek theme park, basically. And so I just have to go to all of these places. So I was just Googling and doing some research, looking at the photos. And so that's my recent search history.
I'm wondering if Shrek is popular in France.
Is it in any way comparable to the other live experience that has been getting a lot of press recently? And that the man who put on said it, quote unquote, ruined his life.
Oh, I thought you were doing a roundabout plug of Caitlin's live show again.
No, I was talking about that Willy Wonka man that truly ruined people's lives.
Yeah, the fire fest of
exactly of
children's attractions.
Media. Yeah.
I mean, not according to the website, it is not similar because these families in the photographs look very happy taking a picture next to a man in a Shrek rubber mask in front of
I
Big
I think that's
Ben.
Actually Shrek.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My bad. Next to Shrek himself in front of Big Ben. Just look and waving at somebody in the sky off in the distance.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm going to that and I'm going to have the best time.
Yeah.
Will you wave to the sky for me, Caitlin, when you go?
Of course.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Shrek. I feel like mileage may vary based on what country you're in, but Shrek is universal and international.
Literally a property of Universal.
Yeah. And that's what I was
How
talking
much
about.
More universal could you get?
Right. I actually just went to Universal Studios with my kids for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
On Saturday
Isn't
morning.
It pretty and great. Did you go to the
fun.
Mummy ride?
We hit the like it was pouring rain out. Highly recommend that. Go while it's pouring rain because then the lines are very short. And we hit the Simpsons ride.
Nice. Did you go to Waterworld, the show?
No, we had to like leave right before everybody
that's fucked up
was
because
going
that's
to Waterworld.
The best.
I know. But the theme, the concept of Waterworld, I was explaining it because I thought we were going to have time to do it. I was explaining it to my kids.
And oh my God, imagine hearing that and not going.
Yeah. My six-year-old, like 2 days later, was like, what was that movie? What was that world you were talking about where everything's like, there's no land? I was like, son, you're talking about Waterworld. And I can tell you are of me and mine kind because yes, that I remember when that shit came out, man. Like, oh my God, I was so excited.
It's
I was
so like, wild that
wait,
you're
the
bringing
world
this up?
Is water.
It's water world. It is wild that you're bringing this up because this is very relevant to my overrated.
What Alex, what is something you think is underrated?
So underrated, I want to shout out Cherry Coke Zero.
Okay.
It's a fantastic bev. And I thought about it for a weird reason because me and my buddy Katie Golden, we made like a weird TV recap podcast recently. And we almost did it about a TV show called The Young Pope. which is not a very good show. It was from some years ago. Yeah.
Jude Law?
And like Jude Law is the young Pope. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I always think about with that show is that his character was obsessed with Cherry Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. So it's a show where like the Pope is going around the Vatican and before a meeting, he'll be like, where's my Cherry Coke Zero? At one point, he just says like Cherry Coke Zero in like a pounding his fist on the table way. And unfortunately, he is correct. It's a fantastic beverage. I want to have it all the time. I guess we're celebrating Good Friday by talking about the Pope having Cherry Coke Zero.
Oh, yeah, it's Good Friday. Happy Good Friday. The best.
Happy Good Friday. Oh, yeah.
The best of Fridays.
But it's great. It's a step up from Coke Zero if you've only had that.
Huh. What do you think about the, you know, Coke is always experimenting, right? Full disclosure, sure. I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia. And so we hear a lot of weird Coke stuff. We get our finger on the pulse, you know, we get the weird, the wild swings sometimes just will show up in your neighborhood. Like there was, for instance, recently there was Coca-Cola Dream and I tried it, right?
Yeah.
And in their defense, they never said whether it was a good dream or not. But that was not the vibe for me, man. And they've always got these new flavors coming out. So Cherry Coke Zero, that's one for you?
Yes. I'm glad you bring up Dream because I was not into that. The spiced Coke is okay. It's just called spiced. It's not a Dune thing or whatever. Right. And then at one point they did like 7 fruit flavors of Diet Coke, and I was mostly not into those.
The
Cherry Coke Zero though is a winner. It's pretty available. You don't have to be. I assume you have some kind of Atlanta vault that you open up, Ben, and just grab it whenever you want.
Bro, I'm so plugged in. You know, we got retinal scans. We've got actually the Coca-Cola Museum, which is heavy propaganda. Just to be completely honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. If you've been there, there is the culmination of the tour is a Willy Wonka-esque room where you can try, at least at the time I went, because all the kids take a field trip there, you can try every single flavor of beverage that the Coca-Cola company makes. Yeah, and it's, you know, there's some cinematography or choreography of the soda, I would say, because it shoots across the room in an arc.
What?
Yeah, and you're like amazed. Nice. And you try,
that
you know.
That sounds so sticky.
Yeah, I wouldn't want.
Shooting through the air?
Shout out to the custodial staff.
Yeah,
that's
going
to be rough around like 6:30 p.m.
Like that must be, they must be like recruiting custodians around the country, just being like, this guy's got talent, like looking at closed caption CCTV footage of like people wiping up spills being like, this guy's like a first round draft pick. We got to get him into the Coke fountain room.
And they have PTSD from it, you know. They talk about their time.
I've seen some shit, man.
Yeah, I was seeing shit, you know. Cherry Coke Zero. I can't look at it.
Cherry Coke Zero. I've never purchased it outside of a movie theater, but it is whatever that like universal freestyle Coke machine is.
Coke Freestyle's great. Just as a system. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I go Coke Zero and then I put the cherry in and it's bright red for some reason. And man, I love that. There's like a bright red. I mean, not the whole drink, but there is like a, you know, in the machine, there's like a portion of the stream that is bright red. So there's like some manner of like cherry syrup that's coming in that I think makes it different than the Hot Pope's
bottled
Cherry Coke Zero's version.
The Hot Pope?
Wasn't that basically the character was, what if the Pope fucked? Like,
it was so weird because it went through. Like you sometimes you watch a show and you become very curious about the creative process in the writer's room, you know, and I thought maybe these guys just got real deep on Cherry Coke Zero, or maybe they had like they were like, here's a checklist, or maybe Jude Law came in and he was like, I will do this with the following eccentricities.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the particular varietal of Coke that show was written on, but
right, exactly. It's non-negotiable. Man, what a blast from the past, man. But I can't.
It's unhinged.
It is unhinged. It is unhinged. It is freestyling. That's what they did. It is off the dome. What if there was a Pope who was Jude Law? Drop the beat, you know?
Drop the beat now.
Yeah.
There is a fascination with Catholicism in, like, I think that was made by like a great filmmaker, like a European filmmaker that was like, people were an Italian filmmaker. Everyone was like, you know, this person does not miss. Like, what are they going to make next? HBO was like, blank check. What do you want to make? And they were like, a show about like, what if Pope was young and kind of hot?
That's the pitch, right? That's what they did. Yeah.
Yeah. But like Scorsese's making a new series for Fox Nation. We talked about this on yesterday's trending. He's making a new series for the Fox, like the place where shows that were turned down by everybody else go to like have a brief afterlife. The Fox Nation, right? Like the streaming platform. Scorsese's making a show about the Saints for that station. Like,
are they hot? Are they hot Saints?
Probably hotter than you would expect, but unclear. And I the Catholicism, when people are like, you know what, it's like Pascal's wager is like, you know, religion can't be all bad. And like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you go to heaven and it's like, well, no, you like waste a lot of good talent and energy on stuff that could have been otherwise, but who knows? Maybe Hot Pope is cool, and I'm missing out. Sounds like I am.
It's made by an Italian filmmaker, and then Jude Law is an English actor, right? But he's also playing an American Pope. Like a lot of the pitch is like, what if the Pope was hot and really young, so he's going to be Pope for a long, long time, and American? What if these three crises strike? You know,
and he's super and, New York. He is like cartoonishly New York.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Hey, yeah. I'm the Pope over here.
Exactly. Like that.
And the drink, I think the drink is maybe supposed to be a joke about Americans.
He
doesn't have coffee or tea or whatever. Like, he's looking for morning cherry Coke Zero, right?
So, yeah.
I think it's like kind of it's like the joke on Arrested Development where the American-themed restaurant is piles of donuts that no one could ever eat. Like, it's like kind of how dumb we are.
Morning Cherry Coke Zero is in the Coke vault, but it's spelled MourNing. It's supposed to give you a feeling of foreboding and sadness. Yeah.
Slogan, pour one out.
And then pour one out.
There we go.
Pour one out directly into your mouth. What's something you think is overrated?
Right now, I'm going to go with mental health. I just think being well mentally is overrated right now at this point in my life and in time. I'm really just leaning into mental illness. Let's just let it go. You know, let's just lean it. Like, if you're depressed, watch as many murder, sad documentaries as you can. Let's just see what happens. That's, you know, I feel like I'm a bit weak. I gave mental health a shot and... Let me just go the other way for a bit.
Yeah, for you, just like, I've leaned one way. I'm going to lean the other and see where I net out.
See where I net out. Yeah. You know, I've been watching so many things that are to improve myself or educate, reading. No. You know what? I sat and I watched, I binged a 4-episode documentary about some YouTuber I've never heard of in my life who like groomed a bunch of people. It was sad and dark, but I leaned in. Now I know about this person.
Yeah. Which I was going to say, which documentary? Because I feel like there's always a fucking documentary about YouTubers that are grooming people.
What is his, like, Osirin?
Onision?
Onision in real life. Yeah, I'd never heard of this guy. And the whole time I was like, what's his name? Orion? Onanion?
Yeah.
And I felt like the oldest person in the world because everyone else was like, he's very well known.
It's so wild too. Like, I do the same thing. Like, it's weird when like I see something on the internet that has like millions of views and like this like YouTuber, and I'm like, what the fuck? I've never heard of Onion Sun. What the fuck is this? But yeah, I know. Yeah, too have fallen down the Onision.
Oh, yeah. And that broke me a bit mentally. So,
yeah.
Yeah, right. And then you're like, what do I need mental health for?
What do I need?
YouTube video did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm off the cliff now. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes I'm doing mental health wrong, but when I'm focusing too much on how I'm feeling, I feel like I tend to, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm thinking about my mental health and thinking about how I'm feeling and how happy I am, like that fucks me up, because then if I feel bad, it's like,
then you're like, you're fucking up.
I feel bad about feeling bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, just like, I don't
Not
know.
Great. So
that's why you just have to create, that's, I just think of it more of like just putting yourself in the good, the right environment.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah,
that's like right. More, you know, so just, than being like, am I 1000% happy, like ecstatic going off? I was like, no, man, I just need to make sure like I'm in a good, I'm always putting myself in the right environments, creating myself the right.
You know what? I throw that all out the window and just go, just ball, do what you want to do. Just do it for the story. Don't even think about how you feel. What do you want? How does it feel right now?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what's underrated.
There you go. All right. That and Owala, obviously. Yeah. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the Supreme Court. What are those crazy kids getting up to?
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back.
And I think we already mentioned that you're wrong about is really, you're really good with like moral panics, the satanic panic in particular.
And just we have role, a lot to work with.
Yeah, it turns out the role of evangelical Christianity in some of our biggest social movements of the past half century. And you recently had an episode about the pro-life movement that was surprising to me. Like, I think you said this right off the bat that I was not expecting. You point out the pro-life movement is younger than Jeff Bridges.
Than the dude.
This is how we mark age now.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, yeah, like, I guess it's specific. Like, there were people who were opposed to abortion before that, but the kind of concerted, cohesive, evangelical driven version kind of starts in 1973, and it's part of this movement by evangelicals to be like, hey, so our values, people hate them. We've got bad values. We're pro segregation. Nobody else seems to like that very much. They're pretty, they recognize that they're going the wrong way in terms of relevancy.
They're in need of a real makeover.
Exactly. And so, yeah, they settle on abortion, which the most well-known evangelical in the 70s was Jimmy Carter, which is like, that's not who I come to associate evangelicals with, but it was like a different time. And at that time, you didn't necessarily like being super violently against people's right to have an abortion was not one of the first things you associated with evangelicals.
No, or with the Republican Party. And I always love to cite the fact that Betty Ford famously was a pro-choice Republican and that was a coherent political position for the first lady to have at the time.
Wow. Yeah. And Jimmy Carter being an evangelical guy, bit of a social justice warrior, some would say.
He loves building houses for people. Yeah, I feel right. Like there's something that it is really, it's interesting to reflect on maybe arguably what has been lost, because this is not exactly my field, but many of my fields brush up against it. And the history of evangelicism in America really connects to the idea that God really is of and for the people, and that prayer is about direct communication with the divine, and that you deserve to have a connection to the Holy Spirit without there needing to be some kind of conduit. So it really is, in a way, another wave of, you know, the various religious reformations that we've seen throughout history that have made Christianity more and more egalitarian. And there's historically been a lot of potential for good in that, and still is. But it's just that, you know, evangelical Christianity in 2024, I think, is absolutely synonymous with the unbelievably sinister, theocratic, kleptocratic, fascist dictatorship that we're now basically living in. So that's really fun. That's nice.
They really did not see it going that way. I guess I did, because we grew
you gotta,
up.
It's the compliment sandwich. Right. You know, you got to yeah. start with the good, and then that's you're right. like, now we have some news. We have some news
about how things
now.
Have gone since then. Yeah. I mean, you point out at one point, I forget if it was that episode or not, but just if you look at what the evangelical movement has done over the past 40 years in our lifetime, it's kind of what paranoid eras of the U.S. accused communists of doing, you know, that there was going to be this secret takeover, that they were going to secretly infiltrate our Supreme Court. And like,
they have failed to infiltrate the media, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, right. Interestingly, there's nothing conservatives are worse at than making media.
Yeah. They tried turning their hat around backwards, turning the chair around backwards. They
tried everything. Piercing
their
ears.
Still can't, yeah. still can't
got
get
these
us
puka
to
shells
buy
on,
in.
Man. Yeah.
But yeah, and then it's kind of what they accuse Satanists of doing in the 80s, like secretly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what they're accusing, you know, all these drag queen groomers of doing now. There's a very, in any kind of abusive relationship where you think that your abuser has more complicated motives than you ultimately realize that they do, it's, I think, largely a projection game.
Yeah.
Right.
And it seems like so many of the moral panics, too, like they're like, you know, like all the ones we've mentioned, even human trafficking, they're just sort of like built on people's inability or like unwillingness to examine actual systemic forces. And it's just much easier to chalk it up to like, yeah, it's this other thing, man. It's these Satanists that are freaking out. It's like, it's not that there's inequality, it's that there are these flash rob mobs where they just go through and steal everything. And it's a crime wave. And it just allows, I don't know, for people to sort of neatly put some kind of larger issue into a problem that doesn't quite actually get to the root of the cause.
Yeah. I've been fascinated by slasher movies for a long time, and I think that they do a weirdly great job of illustrating this very, I think, kind of core piece of American folklore where, you know, to use Friday the 13th as the example, like some kind of like the traditional slasher template is that somebody is wronged in the past. Jason drowns because the counselors weren't paying attention.
Too busy canoodling.
Love while that boy drowned.
Yeah.
And then some kind of force avenging the wronged party shows up in the present, and innocent teens who are simply, you know, smoking a joint or making out suffer. And the sort of arc of it is that you can sort of momentarily acknowledge that injustice has occurred in the past, but as long as you turn a representative of that injustice into a force so dangerous that there's no proportionate response except killing them, mm-hmm. then you can justify any action in the present and kind of even out the ledger. And that feels like a really, I don't know, some way that we were thinking through with these summer camp movies, the kind of dominant political ideology we were all living under.
Yeah. Well, it is a kind of frontier wilderness setting that everybody's familiar with. And
right.
That is where, you know, colonial, like,
these summer
American
camps are fucking
culture.
Never populated.
No.
Except in sleepaway camp.
They're always way out there in the woods. And then, yeah, they are being punished. Like, I just think that at a certain level, there's like an unspoken knowledge amongst Americans that, like, oh yeah, we've got it coming. Like this has been bad. Like what everything you see around you is built on top of just ashes and atrocities. And
right.
We've mm-hmm. got something horrible coming. And so yeah, it makes sense when slasher films, like it does feel like if an alien came down and just like looked at our films, slasher films would be pretty difficult to explain if they didn't have like a psychological read on,
right.
Like
they'd be like,
no,
oh
we
my
feel
god
really
did
fucking
this
bad about
does this
it.
Go on
no it would never happen. It's just a thing we like to imagine happening to us. Why, what is wrong
I think
with
we got
you?
It coming or something. I don't know.
I just
right.
like we kind of like
is
hate
kind of
ourselves.
Like an act of masochism. Yeah.
Yeah.
We know we are not what was intended,
yeah.
to quote
so
the
we
movie
put
Sunshine.
The, right. So we put the poltergeist house on top of a Native American burial ground. And
yeah.
Yeah. That gets it out. That gets
it's,
it out. There
it's just
go.
Funny how like that sort of that angst manifests in different ways, sometimes in films, other times in people screaming at school board meetings, being like, I don't want my kids to know what a civil war is or was
oh
or was about.
People like, should be watching more horror movies, I think.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder if that's my aversion. Why am I so horror averse? I wonder. What am I?
You don't feel guilty about anything. You've got a clean consciousness.
Yeah, I guess as like a Black and Japanese American,
yeah,
I'm like, I don't know, bro. To. Yeah, yeah, y'all got that shit coming.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel weird about not liking horror movies. Like that's us, man. Different We're weird audience. For liking them.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, white people, 4 hours a week, go to the horror movie clinic, get shown a movie.
Well, because I mean, like, there's also like bad, like, I mean, there's Japanese horror films, and there's clearly a laundry list of atrocities that Japan has committed too. And I wonder, what's German horror like? Is there like a universal language of like sort of expressing this like through what we consider horror?
Because
I know
the cultural differences
cultural
are really
too.
Interesting. Because I feel like Japanese horror movies, there are often ghosts.
Yeah. No. Precisely.
And we have so few ghosts nowadays in American horror. We love demons. We won't shut up about demons, to my chagrin.
Yeah, Germany just has demons. Werner Herzog, who's just like, everything is a horror movie.
His three Herzog documentaries a year. Werner Herzog's new TV
Why
hour
do you
special
need...
about crayons.
Why do you need horror movies when nature is trying to kill you always?
Don't
you
know
gardening with Werner Herzog.
Yeah, that's just a documentary about hummingbirds.
In the abundance of these queens pushing their way out through the soil, I see none of the divinity of springtime or the pagan gods.
Yeah.
I see only pointless fecundity, but I can also use them to make a nice pesto.
While we're on the subject of movies, you kind of stumbled on, I don't like the Andes. You did an episode on the mm-hmm. Andes Rescue, the Alive story, as I think it's mostly known in America. The rugby team crashes in the Andes, is living there for months.
On a freaking glacier.
On a glacier, no freezing to death, starving to death, eventually turned to cannibalism to avoid starving to death. Mm-hmm. So this past year, one of the best movies I saw was Society of the Snow, which does a really good job of updating. You know, there was the version in the 90s, Alive, with like Ethan Hawke, I think. And, you know, it was like the Hollywoodized version. Society of the Snow, like, updates it and like adds a lot of the humanity back to it, which was something that your episode really did. But both movies really missed something that I loved that you brought up, which is that people, like, they were doing bits the whole time.
Right.
Like, the number of bits that they did was, like, at one point, they're waiting to be rescued, and then they look off and they see an avalanche, like a white wall coming towards them.
Right.
And then they realize that somebody is actually using a fire extinguisher to like make it look like there's an avalanche coming to them as a bit. And then they're like planning bits for what to do when the helicopter arrives at the scene of their plane crash, like talking about like the funniest thing to say while they were in it.
Yeah. But
I don't know. Generally, just movies about true stories and history feel like they have to be as humorless as like a Christopher Nolan film, you know?
Right.
And totally.
It's just not how reality is. Like, I would have loved the bits in both of those movies.
Oh, yeah. Know? Well, because even you think about the wild stuff like engineering students pull like while they're in college, you know what I mean?
God,
or like the fun they have, like JPL is nearby in LA and like they do like wild just pumpkin carving contests, just weird things. They're like, no, we're using our like power, like brain power to get stuff to other, like the moon, to have fucking fun. And yet to think that like they were just, I don't know, where were Los Alamos? They were just like hanging out, counting marbles or something. They're like, all right, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah. Right,
see you later. Like they weren't horsing around. Come on now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Those, they were doing bits constantly, like all throughout history. And I really do think it's the same reason that comedies almost never win at the Academy Awards is the reason that they feel like they need to launder movies of any like fun when they're about history.
Yeah.
Like, no, this has to be serious. We have to like remove the fun, but I feel like it would just feel more lived in. And yeah, I don't know. It would be a blast if we actually saw how the people were funny at the time.
Well, and, you know, and I think about when you think about the movies that endure and that are a part of your life and that you watch a lot, like, and, you know, it's different people have different requirements. Some people have comfort movies that have no funny parts in them at all. God bless them. But like, aren't most of the things that you watch more than a couple times funny?
Yeah, they have fun. Yeah,
right.
The characters are having fun or they're funny or...
Yeah. There's the, you know, because it's like a full spectrum of humanity. It's kind of like eating an entire meal with nothing, no sweetness in it at all. Like,
right.
you can do it, but it feels there's something missing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing that got left out of both movies that your episode kind of restores is like, it's kind of an important detail. Like, you go from the story of them like surviving, getting rescued, to that's kind of it, and then like today we know them as like the cannibal people, and it's the media discovering the cannibalism, like the doctor checking them out and being like, wait a second, these guys like had to have been eating something. And then like a big like moral judgment ensues, and like everybody's like, their family is like upset by it, and they're like, wait, would our parents have rather us starve to death?
Right.
And then like the Catholic Church weighs in and is like, no, it's good that they were eating people, which was very
every
cool
so often
of the Catholic
they do something
Church.
Useful.
Every once in a while they nail it. And then the other detail was that they were like a few days walk from a hotel full of canned food. Was like, I don't know.
Isn't that always the way?
I can see why you left it out, but Jesus Christ. That's, I mean, it, like Triangle of Sadness, like that, it's, you know, I don't know if you guys saw that movie. But
I did. I really liked that movie. And I saw that too. The night that midterm results were coming in. So it was like perfect for that. Very distracting.
Yes. Oh, that's a good idea. Just watch a really good, like save a really good movie for when, for election night.
Yeah.
Get sucked
you
in.
Need to be transported for real. Yeah, it is. I think that the kind of texture of tragedy is what makes it feel real. And I think that to some extent, when we tell stories that are so grim and feel so distant from us, that that's a way of us feeling like it's not going to happen to us when, you know, really so many of these things are the result of being in a boat, being in a skyscraper, being in the path of a forest fire. Like, we're going to have more and more epidemics and disasters, and they're just going to become part of everyday life for those of us who don't feel that way yet.
Yeah. I hope we can remember to be funny, and
we're going to be so funny. We're going to be the funniest generation that has ever lived.
That has ever lived through an apocalypse. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, the aliens will come and they're like, wow, as their civilization was dying, they put out some of the best comedies.
Some of these bits are
some
really
funny. Some of their best content came right near the end.
The guy made a drum set out of billionaire skulls and was touring doing solos. It was really, it was quite artistic, I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Those "I think you should leave" quotes when the, as their city was burning down.
Well, and then once the grid went down, they had to make those meme museums. And,
right.
Those were a real treat.
Yeah.
That would be fun, though, to like figure out which memes go in the museum. Like, you might as well just do that now. I feel like it would be a good public works project. Biden, come on.
Yeah, come on. But these, because we're going to have so many out of work TikTokers when you ban the app.
Yeah.
We're going to work, you know, the new Civil Conservation Corps of meme collection and remembrance.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll keep talking.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And this is your notice that we are a little over 1 week away from total solar eclipse on April 8th. This is an especially rare event because its path of totality will be much wider than the 2017 eclipse, which was one of the first stories we covered on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So April 8th will be one of the last stories we cover. We're ending it. We just do what the sun tells us to, you know.
Right, exactly.
But this is going to give more Americans a clear view of the phenomenon than the last time. I'm on the record as saying, like, I haven't been in the direct path of any of these eclipse experiences, but like they've been mostly underwhelming in my experience.
It's because you got to be in the path of totality.
You got to be in the path of totality.
Yeah.
But we still try. We still go out there and we're like, whoa, look, that light reflecting off the thing kind of has a crescent shape.
Yeah, wow, look at that. Look at the shadow. Oh, yeah.
Or do you use like binoculars or something and aim them so you can project the shadow onto the ground? I remember doing that as a kid.
Yeah, and then I go, honestly, I think I could look at it. I really don't think anything will happen if I look at it. I'm just
well, I've looked.
And my boyfriend goes, no. And I'm like, okay.
Come on.
I don't think anything would happen.
I've taken a sneaky look at the eclipse. I don't give a fuck.
I look at the sun every day in my life, basically.
You got to give it. I like to give a good solid 3 minutes of direct eye contact with the sun every morning.
When I wait, that's how I reset my day. Okay, that's how I elevate as a human. You need 3 minutes just eye contact with the sun.
Factory reset. I know we were saying you put a hyper ice massage gun to the temple as a way to do a hard reset, factory reset on your brain. The new one. Go outside. Yeah. First thing you wake up, direct eye contact with the sun for three straight minutes.
Solar eclipse lasts for 4 minutes 27 seconds. So that's the ice bucket challenge of this solar eclipse is staring for the whole 4 minutes 27 seconds.
For 420, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Are you real? How much do you like solar eclipses, bro?
Come on.
Like you've got like science people who are like, yeah, no, we're traveling there. Oh yeah, you're about that. Then you look at it raw.
Look at it.
Yeah,
you go
look
raw.
At it raw.
Going with the eyes. Yeah.
Burn the
raw.
Corneas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Spend the rest of your day blinking a lot because there's a big blind spot there.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of your life blinking. But people are going nuts. I specifically, when our writer Jam put the story in the doc this morning, I immediately was like, oh shit, I better do something. And it's way too late. So these people aren't wrong. They're just more prepared than me. There's been a small spending boom across the country. Campgrounds and rental cars have sold out. Hotel rooms are getting booked up thanks to a massive number of tourists planning to visit states in the path of totality. Indiana, which Ashley, isn't that where you hail from?
I am from the Midwest. I'm from Illinois.
You're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Illinois. Okay.
But I'll claim it as Midwest, but we are better than them.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Indiana is preparing to get 500,000 visitors.
That's a lot for Indiana. Who goes there? That's probably the most they've had in a while.
That's more than 7 times the attendance at the 2012 Super Bowl in Indianapolis. So they're in trouble.
Wow. I was going to say that's probably more than the last time the Colts were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a while. Too many people. Some would say for a city like Indianapolis. But despite the fact that eclipses are totally free astronomical occurrences that anybody can witness, corporations besides, you know, not just hotels are trying to monetize the eclipse as much as possible. This one sounds pretty good. Like, I'm actually not mad at this first one. Six Flags
and
Texas.
I'm mad at this first one.
You're mad at Six Flags?
Go on.
Yeah.
Six Flags in Texas is trying to get people to pay them to witness the eclipse while simultaneously trying not to puke on the Superman Tower of Terror with the Six Flags Fiesta Texas Solar Eclipse at the Park, aka Solar Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool. Mm-hmm.
That sounds cool as fuck. What's your problem?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Because I don't think the experience is going to be that cool, right? I think the hottest ticket would be what if you're, because I know those Superman rides, it's like basically a big J-shaped thing where they shoot you up to like fucking 700 feet in the air. And then you're like, you know, your back, like you're just looking straight up at the sky. I get maybe being that high up in it when an eclipse is happening.
No, you're going to be in line.
But that's like 40 people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, and
it only lasts 4 minutes, so...
Yeah, exactly. I know, it's like one, like, it's actually between, like, deployments of the amusement car, so it's like no one actually ever gets to see
it.
Gets
up there, they're just getting on and off. It's,
dude, it's happening. Get off so we can go up. They're like, sorry, we missed it.
No, that's a really good point. Like, they are selling an idealized version of what this could be in your mind that is going to not happen for 99.9% of the people who pay them.
Yeah.
Most people are going to be in line.
Which, that's a good grift.
It's a really good grift.
Better grift. I'll tip my hat to the grift part of it. I think the Delta one has me hooked a little bit more, but then realizing this will be a fucking I don't know how fun it would be, but they're offering flights that basically follow the path of totality. And then you can basically, they're saying, unadulterated views from, quote, extra large windows. I'm sorry. It's just the fucking windows that are on the plane. You're not putting new fucking windows on.
Is this a new plane? What are you doing to make the windows extra large? I don't trust this. Not at all.
These are made by Boeing. I don't know if you've seen what the sides of their planes do.
Not with everything going on with planes. I think there's a Mercury retrograde. And then I am not going to be on a plane during this.
But I can see like the appeal of being like, oh, you might be able to see like the land like become dark in these strips. Maybe that's cool. But then
I would like that.
But imagine what if this is like one of those planes, like how big is a plane? Is it a three? Like they got three aisles or three rows in the fucking middle? Like what if you sit in the middle or if you have a fucking aisle seat? Then you're like, hey, man, can I get a little bit of a look? They're like, fuck you. I paid fucking $6,000 for this.
So did I. That's your fucking problem.
That's your fucking fault, bull. But yeah, I see they're doing a good job of, you know, dangling this like magical experience in front of you. But if you just think it out for like two or three steps, you're like,
why would I do this?
I feel like even the like news footage from the like places that are in the path of totality in previous eclipses, the people remind me, I think I said this before, of the interviews with people after they saw Phantom Menace. Like, you know, when they had like the local news reports, and they're like, and these Star Wars fans have been camped out for 72 hours for this. And we interviewed them like before going in and after. And then you like have them coming out and they're all like, yeah, it was, oh man, it's like, oh, it was cool. Yeah. So cool. Like they're like, is it as good as the other Star Wars? Better. But you can tell, like, so the light has gone out, like, behind their eyes a little bit. Like, they're just like, nah, fuck. Like, put some part of them is coming to terms with the fact that it sucked. Like, I feel like I've seen that in some of the footage of, like, parents who have, like, taken their kids across the country to be there. And they're just like, yeah, I mean, well, we're in a field here, and sure. It's cool. We're glad that it
happened. I think somewhere in Oregon was like the best place to see it the last time it happened in 2017.
I think that's right.
And I remember seeing footage of that and people like were like, yo, it got so fucking cold. All of us like, that shit together. I was like, okay, if I was fucking high, I would be like,
that'd be cool.
Wild. Yeah. But then it's 4 minutes and then you're like,
it's like, okay, well, that happened.
Yeah,
well, here we are.
Worth $2,500 for the overpriced plane, hotel, and cars.
Well, we'll have all the money we spent. That's the memory.
Right. What the fuck?
That's right.
When are we getting ours out here in L.A.? Come on, man.
Wasn't there?
Come on, God.
Wasn't there an eclipse out here? We had like a L.A. like mini eclipse or something.
We had but not like a total. No. We were never in the path of totality.
We've never been path of totality.
Exactly. But I mean, like, while, you know, people like Delta are doing their shit, I'm glad that the fast food companies are also, they're on their game, too, making sure that they have solar eclipse-based puns, but really just offering nothing of substance.
Yeah. I mean, the Burger King is offering free Whoppers for that whole day for some reason.
I wouldn't eat a Whopper if it was free.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that connection. I'm not saying I would. I actually would. I like a Whopper, but I think we're boycotting. Like, I don't know. I haven't had Burger King in years, so
no, just for me. I was like, every time I've had a burger, like a Whopper, I'm like, I'm all right.
Huh. But then every other time it's bad, but when it hits, when the burger's so hot good. And the lettuce and tomato
white sauce,
it's perfect. And it only happens, like, cold. It only happens on Whopper Wednesday. That's the one day that it's really
right. Oh man, or an eclipse.
Yeah, during an eclipse, it's the one time. Maybe
I'll see.
Guys, we're actually gonna like make the Whopper good this time. Hey, we
really put some fucking effort in, y'all.
Pizza Hut has a total eclipse of the Hut deal, which sounds like the New York Post headline after Pizza Hut goes out of business. Like,
that's
kind of weird that they've gone with that. But maybe that's what they're going for. They're like, this deal is too good. We're actually not going to survive it. But it's any large pizza for $12.
And any toppings. I think that's the big one there, because that's where they get you, is the toppings are extra.
The toppings will fuck you up.
Yeah.
$12 for as many toppings as you want.
Will like, that even, but I know recently you're like, you're not feeling Pizza the Hut. So are you, would you entertain that?
Load that shit down.
Yeah.
I love I like Pizza Hut. Topping full pizza. I love Supreme Pizza. Like, that's my shit.
Yeah.
So,
their thin and crispy is pretty good too.
You love Pizza Hut just generally?
Yeah. I loved the mini pizzas growing up as a kid. And so it just kind of became one of my favorite pizza spots for, you know, like cheap, fast pizza.
It's greasy.
Yeah. That's it's better than like a Papa John's or Little Caesars.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was the guest that was saying that it's basically they're selling you Little Caesars pizza at a slight at a higher slight markup is how they describe Pizza
Hut. The cheese is like, way better at Pizza Hut.
Okay. Hey,
but you know what? Crazy bread at Little Caesars. That's still
Little Caesars is in the lab. Little Caesars is experimenting with like little pizza cupcakes or something. I don't know. I just caught that out of the corner of my eye. And
they're struggling.
Like, not now, Little Caesars. Not now.
They're paying a lot of people on Twitter to promote it.
They're like, please.
I can't deal with this right now.
They're like, eat ours from the ass end. You're like, what? That's like, I think that was one of the marketing when they had like the fucking wild ass crust on the side. They're like, eat it from the back.
Put it that way
or something. But yeah,
eat it from like, the back.
We know how these online kids are. Yeah, they like eating ass. So eat it from the ass end. Little Caesar, pizza.
Yeah,
Sun Chips have woken from their slumber again. Another brand that we only think about once every 20 years. The Sun Chips will be selling a special eclipse themed flavor, but only during the time of the eclipse. So you, in order to experience this, you will need to be during the eclipse, spending that time on your laptop trying to buy Sun Chips.
Yeah.
It's available, like the marketing says, available for 4 minutes, 27 seconds.
This sounds dumb, but when I read the flavor, I was actually like, I would do it. I want to try it.
It's different enough that you're like, oh, okay. Because sometimes they'll be like, the flavor description will be so vague. They'll be like, it's like a combination of the dark side of the moon and the heat of the sun hitting your mouth in one go. And you're like, get to the point.
Yeah.
Pineapple, habanero, black bean, spicy Gouda chips.
That's too many flavors.
I want to see. I'm like, how are we doing this?
I mean,
I think they have two options. They have pineapple habanero and black bean spicy Gouda.
Two stoners over here are like, yo.
Pile it on, bro. Black bean with pineapple.
Put that cacophony of flavors straight upon me tongue now. No way.
Okay, well, I'm going to buy them both, and I'm going to eat them together, so whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So this next detail of this story is one of the rare things that made me say, that's fucked up out loud. Despite everything we just said. So eclipse tourists are being screwed over by greedy hotels who are allegedly canceling reservations that were made over a year ago by people who were like on it. Like, we've known about this eclipse since the 1600s. So, like, you could have booked this shit way the fuck in advance.
You could have been prepared.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And they booked it over a year ago in order to, you know, be there for the eclipse. And the hotels are canceling those reservations because they're like, not fair. We weren't able to gouge you enough. And so basically trying to resell the room at a higher cost now that demand has risen. That should be the thing that starts the uprising.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah. That.
There should be
fuck
a bunch
these
of
people.
Angry nerds starting a war.
No, like, that is so infuriating. And that they'll just, like, get away with it.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, it's the price gouging shit. It's the whole, like, you know, the fact that they don't mind just raising prices during the fucking pandemic because they can, and
right.
The mainstream media is just like, yeah, well, that's market cap forces at work. It's like, no, that's companies making record profits during a pandemic. Like, they,
yeah.
This drives me fucking crazy that it's just like market forces is a get out of like morality term that they're just gonna use to fuck people over like forever. And like, that makes me so mad for some reason, canceling the reservations of the people who play, because like, that could never be me. I could never be the person who was like, oh, things coming up in a year, like this would be a great experience for my kids. I'm going to book it a year in advance and we'll like plan this thing. Like, that is, I look on those people like they are fucking professional athletes.
Yeah, yeah. I would right. never. That like, would never be me.
How? You're amazing. You are.
You should benefit.
I feel like though, Jack, if you did put in that effort, and then a fucking hotel canceled on you, you would be the main character in one of those like Uwe Boll
falling
films.
Down. Yeah, like it would be. Yes, I would be. It would be over for these hoes in the hotel industry. In
these
particular.
Hotels.
Yeah. These hotels.
I'm burning it down. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
I would be so angry. I'm so mad. I've never been so mad on behalf of like complete strangers who just like kind of got screwed out of like some money.
Yeah.
But well, I guess they got screwed out of the whole thing because like now all the hotels are booking up and so they're just like without reservations.
I mean, at the very least, like if in the most cynical version, they should be like, hey, man, we're thinking about canceling your reservation.
Yeah.
Somebody just offered us a fucking bag for your really
room.
Comfortable. Your double twin room that you booked. You want to match? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
We're giving you first refusal on this one.
The other one that your people are probably more likely to fall victim to is the fake ass eclipse glass. fake eclipse glasses, which will damage your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you need, if they don't clearly state on the glasses that they have, quote, International Organization for Standardization, ISO 12312-2 certification. Do not buy those for your kids and you.
And make sure it's that dash two, not the dash one. You don't want to,
yeah, that one just means
you're like, dash one. No, that will accelerate the damage to your eyes.
Yeah.
I don't even
you
know
actually
why they
won't
made
have
them.
Eyebrows or eyelashes.
It's going to burn it all off.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Back in 2017, Amazon recalled sketchy eclipse glasses sold through their site, but they did it just 2 days before the eclipse and ended up facing a class action lawsuit. So nobody's going to save you from capitalism is the message of this eclipse. Eclipses have set off like big historic events, but in the past, maybe this will cause us to overthrow capitalism.
So something activates the whole country's Manchurian candidates that just like, what? Destroy our masters. It just reminds you too of just like in like the height of the pandemic when everyone was like, oh yeah, these N95s I got, man. You want some? I got these.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And
they were not.
They were not N95s.
Like, if they are not NIOSH approved or whatever, you're like, holy shit, here we go. And people just be like, those are joke sunglasses from someone's bar mitzvah that got canceled, man.
Don't you see that they have eyeballs attached to springs on it? Don't you see the fake mustache and
this
fake nose?
Clearly, that one still has it on. They forgot to rip it off that one. Oh, shit. All right, my bad.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.